Tabs, you look
Yeah.
great. Were you out on a hot
Oh,
date?
do
Looking
I?
all
No.
fly?
No. I
What?
was just wiping poop off the wall, you know. So just real glamorous stuff over here. I for sure was.
You do look pretty flat ironed.
This is
Right?
right
Yeah.
out of the shower. Nothing done to
God
this hair.
damn, you're
Like, that
just
doesn't look like mom hair.
naturally
Like, it literally looks remarkable.
like you flat iron jagged it.
Took a
Jagged
shower and then I immediately went to pick up Nora.
it. It's a
But I
good
do have
look.
our new Table for Five shirt on that I got.
Ooh,
Love
I
it.
love that shirt.
Hello and welcome to Table for Five with no reservations. Take a seat at the table for a fresh, sweet, salty, tart, and pleasantly bitter conversation. Thank you for taking a seat at the table. Tonight we are discussing another hard topic, eloping, one we've all dealt with, I think, at some point or another. So at the table tonight, I have Jen,
Hi, everyone.
Rachel,
Hey, everybody.
Jamie,
Hello.
Kim,
Hi.
and I'm Tabitha. So I thought I'd start with the definition of eloping. It's described as the urge to leave protected and safe surroundings, such as home or school, without notifying anyone. It's also known as wandering, running, or bolting. Children with ASD may not have the same level of awareness that a neurotypical child might have, the kind of awareness that makes a child intuitively or knowingly try to avoid dangerous situations, like being alone in the city without a parent or older sibling to look out for them. A child with ASD may even walk out into traffic or willingly enter a stranger's car. And they generally don't respond to their name when it's called. And, you know, as we know, kids who are nonverbal obviously can't describe where they live, their parents' names, or even kids who aren't verbal, sometimes if they're asked those questions, can't answer those specific questions in a heightened situation. So, who wants to start this evening? Kimmy, you want to go first?
It's definitely changed over time. We don't have a lot of issues with this now. Melissa is pretty prompt dependent, and she's pretty, because of a lot of behavioral treatments and stuff like that, she's kind of will wait now. That wasn't always the case. So when she was really young, and I feel like this is like a confusing thing about elopement, because first of all, the name's super confusing for people. Anytime I ever mention it, they're like, they what? She what? Nope, she didn't get married.
In Vegas.
And the first thing that people will say is like, oh yeah, like all little kids do that, right? Like a lot of kids, you have to hold their hand in a parking lot because they'll bolt. To a degree, that's true. You know, a 2-year-old, you're going to hold their hand in a parking lot. But even a 2-year-old, if you yell, stop, they'll stop. Alyssa would not stop. So we couldn't bring her places. Like I couldn't bring her to the beach by myself because she would go and she wouldn't stop, because it's the elopement, I think, paired with the having no safety awareness. Like
The
Alyssa
lack of
had
fear.
zero safety awareness, no fear. So she would run into the water and people might say, it stopped. No, she wouldn't. She wouldn't stop. In a parking lot, she would run, wouldn't stop. I mean, most of the time, I always had a very good handle on her, and it's easy. Like, not easy, but when you're doing it with a 2-year-old, yep, you can hold them on your hip. They're not going anywhere. You're not going to let them go. My son could manage himself. He was 5, neurotypical. He didn't run off, so I could just kind of manage her. But as they get bigger, it gets a little more difficult because you really can't hold a 6-year-old on your hip anymore. You know, so there are certain places that like I just wouldn't go alone. So I would make sure like either me or Neil could have her. And sometimes she didn't do it. It wasn't like a guaranteed thing, which almost makes it harder sometimes because you can't predict when it's going to happen. So then, what do? Is you let your guard down. We had an incident when she was about 10. She was able to play in the yard independently. We had like a fenced-in yard, and it would be her and Kira and Lexi were probably like 4 and 3, maybe, and 5. They were young, so like I would constantly be checking on them. But like I could like go in the house for a minute, come out, they'd be fine. Well, she used to do this thing where she sneak out of the yard and she would just go around the perimeter of the yard. She thought it was hilarious. So like, she never went anywhere. We'd always be like, Alyssa, come back, come back. And then the way our yard was, there's like bushes and stuff. So like I really couldn't even fit through. So my son would always have to go and get her. And she'd just laugh and laugh. She thought it was hilarious. So one day I come in the house and I look out the window and I don't see her. So I go outside and I'm like, oh, she's going around the perimeter again. I yelled her name. I sent my son to get her. She wasn't there. She wasn't in the perimeter of the yard. And she had never left the yard before because the elopement had kind of slowed down. Probably around, I'd say like 6, 7, she kind of stopped doing it. But like I said, it's like you can never really fully let your guard down. She was gone. There was no sign of her. And at this time, she had no safety awareness at all. And where we live, I mean, the woods, you could throw a rock at the woods. There's cranberry bogs. There's a pond, probably a 3 minute walk from my house. She'd go into somebody's pool in their yard. She could go anywhere. Where we live, there's a lot of small side streets. The main road is kind of far from where our house is, like walking wise, but like 7 minutes, not really that far. We had to call 911 because I couldn't find her. My son was out looking for her. I think Kira and Lexi were like 2 and 4 at this point. So like, I had them. I'm calling Neil. I'm hysterical. He was already on his way home from work. The cops were there. They're looking everywhere for her. But again, it's like you said, she didn't answer to her name at this time. She was always drawn to the water. It's always been my biggest fear since forever. She's always been obsessed with water. And you hear so many stories of kids drowning. And I was just terrified. Neil was driving and Neil saw her out of the corner of his eye. She was on a swing set and someone jawed. The swing set was in the yard of the person who basically their house butted the pond. So, like, the swing set was here, 6 feet the other way was the pond. The only
Thank
thing
God
that,
the play set was there
Yeah, I
to
was just thinking that.
interrupt her path to the
The
water.
only thing that would stop her from going to a pond where she wouldn't go into the pond with her clothes on, but she might take her clothes off and go into the pond. So it's like, do you know what I mean? And she was on the swing set and she was swinging, I mean, 5 feet from the pond. I mean, she was gone for like 15 minutes or 20, I don't know, it felt like 5,000 hours. But like, so Neil found her, brought her back home, and she had never done that. It's like 4 or 5 blocks from our house. It's not like right there, but like we've taken plenty of walks down there. That's where the kids' bus stops were. And I just think in her mind, she was like, I'm just going to go for a walk. But like, that was the most terrifying, probably, moment of my life. Like, and you just had no, I had no idea where she was. She could have been gone for 1 minute or 6 minutes. I mean, that's a huge difference. And any time, even now, that I hear about somebody in the water, I think of that day. Like, that could have been her. That could have been her on the water. She could have drowned. Like, she could not be here. Like, because she was gone long enough that had she gotten to the water, she could have drowned, you know? That was like our scariest moment with elopement. And she never left the yacht again after that day. Like, it was just, you know, my husband does fence for a living. So I'm like, fix this fence and these gates now. But all it takes is somebody to, I don't care how many locks you have, how secure it is, it just takes for one person to forget to shut it. One person. Like you can't be on 100% of the time. And that's what's so scary. You know, there's distractions, the phone rings, you have other children, you turn around, you bend over, you have to go to the bathroom. Like, you know, so many things can happen and it's just so scary. You know, that was the scariest moment that we had. In supervision, she needed constant supervision for like the first 10 years of her life, like you would for a 1 year old. Like, it is very hard to be on that much alert, that much supervision of somebody for 10 years. Like, typical kids are a toddler, yeah, for 2 years, and then you can pull back, you can pull back, you can pull back. But like with her, it wasn't until probably like around 11 that we were able to kind of start doing that a little bit. But yeah, that was scary. That was terrifying. I mean, the cops were there. I mean, they were there in minutes, and there was a lot of them. They were all over this neighborhood looking for her. It was just luck that Neil happened to, he just happened to, he said it was right out of the corner of his eye. He was just going by and like something caught his eye, and there she was on the swing. And you can't give her a consequence for that. Like, she doesn't understand. There's no way to explain to her. It's just, you know, obviously I had to be more on top of it, and we had to like, you know, fix the little, because she just like slid. There was like a little part where she could like slide through, and yeah, but.
Ugh, it's tough. What about you, Jamie?
For us, I think my son's around 8, so like Kim was saying, it's gotten a little better. And I feel like we've been through like so many different types of eloping. So in the very beginning, it was very just, I don't know, him not being in control of his body. So if he would be having a meltdown or panicked about something, he would just take off. And so that's just like, you know, if you're in the front yard and your kid freaks out because a butterfly flew on him, like it could be over anything, and then he just starts running off, that's terrifying because there was no sense of fear at that time at all. So he would run into the street or towards something that was really dangerous. And so that was like the beginning, really, from the time he could walk. My son was a great runner right off the bat. Like I always talk about his stim is running back and forth. And the moment he could really start walking, he started doing that. And so that was really scary. And then as he got a little bit older, And maybe at that time too, but really when it's a little bit older, it became like more trying to get somewhere, or, you know, really one track mind that would look like in the grocery store. He didn't like being inside places, especially stores. I think there's something about the acoustics in stores, but, and this was something I really couldn't understand why he hated stores and stuff so much. Then figuring out that he had autism kind of helped us figure that out a little bit more, but he would be trying to get to the door. So like, he would like remember where the door was and be trying to get to the door to get out. I didn't realize that at first. I was just like, I cannot contain this kid. Or if there was water somewhere, because he's always loved water, he would try to like wander off to that water. If we're at the park and he wants to like go to the slide or something, but he would do like anything to get there. And you don't always know that, like, because he couldn't communicate with us what it was. And so you just have a child that's literally determined to get away from you and has no sense of fear. And so that was really scary. And we still have that. Like, even we were just at my daughter's soccer game the other day, and he's a little more trepidatious about now, but he was so determined to get to this playground, and I could figure out what he wanted to do. And even though my son can speak, he wouldn't tell me what he wanted to do, because I think he thought I would say no or whatever, but he was just trying to get to that playground, not as fast or anything like that as, I mean, he could if he wanted to, because I should get in better shape so I could chase him. He would have beat me, but at least there's like that, you know, he did like think about it first, but I could tell that he was trying to get like slowly get over there. So that's always been a thing. And now it's like, in the last few years, he will go to us. He'll be like, I'm going to leave, or he'll go to the door and, you know, try to get out of the house. And we still have all of those things. They've just kind of calmed down a little bit. There's less of that direct determination, but like, now it's scary that he's like, I'm going to leave the house, and he'll try to open the door and walk out and leave. And we have two different types of security cameras on the house. We have like an alarm on the door, all these different things, because it is. And he still has those moments where he's upset somewhere and he just loses control of his body and takes off. My 5-year-old did that recently also, and she's typical and ran right into someone. And so that was scary. But I think it's like an instinctual thing, but also like the lack of like being able to think in those moments for him. He loses all sense of awareness and safety again. We're not lucky. He has a bit of anxiety, but I think the anxiety has actually helped a little bit with elopement, because now he's more fearful of things, almost irrationally, where that's another problem, but at least it like stops that. So I don't know.
Slows it down.
It tapers off.
And it's really like the, I know it's a separate issue, but it's the lack of safety awareness. It's really paired with the elopement that is such, that makes it such a scary, scary thing, because
He was, you know, like when he was determined, I mean, and he still is determined to get something. It was like back then, it was like so scary, because you would just look at your child and nothing could get in their way of that.
Can't,
and they would
them.
Not think like
they can't even see you or the. Usually
it's one track.
I feel like Jesse fell, like would like stumble and tumble. Like, I feel like you and I had a conversation about this, James. When you're in a fight or flight bolt, and then you can't necessarily see the people around you or the things, you're just going to the playground or wherever the thing is, the pull is. Usually it's like a rock that stops her, that like makes her tumble. And then she's got the tears. Like, there's something environmental that halted her, not her choice.
Just clumsiness.
Not me catching her, but just like the sheer, like
something else.
Stopping the track, basically. That's hyper focus.
I think told that story on the podcast before, where I was 8 months pregnant and I just decided to take him to the city event by myself, and I gave him ice cream and we're sitting there and he decided to take off. And I still don't know what he's trying to get to, but whatever it was, there was like this hill and just fell into this grassy area eventually. And it's like there, it wasn't good. So he takes off and I'm 8 months pregnant and I'm just like, oh my gosh. No. And so I put on my stuff and there's people everywhere, but I was like, I know this is probably bad. I probably should be like, stop that kid. And like, but I was just like, okay, I'm going to get him. But I'm so fat and pregnant. And I have this giant diaper bag on my back. Oh, and I'm like waddling towards him. And I just got like halfway through the event, there was like a volleyball game going, and he got to where this volleyball game was, and the people all stopped playing and they just see this kid. And then he just like, and he's little enough at this point that they just think it's like a typical kid running off. And he trips over his own feet and falls over. And I was like, thank goodness. And so I catch up. I'm like, sorry. And I just take him up. But man, in my heart was like pounding, because I was freaking out. And I was like, if this kid really takes off, like if he had gone further, I'd probably been like, hey, can you guys grab him? Because I couldn't chase him down. I was super pregnant.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. I think one of my very first clues was when he was around 18 months or so or two, I had this cousin and we were talking about like how he runs off and stuff. And I had no clue at that point. I didn't know what elopement was or anything like that. And she's like, oh, I taught my kids red light, green light really early. So you'll just yell red light and they'll stop. And I'm like, I couldn't even fathom teaching my son that or that working. And so that was a clue later on when I was like, oh, and then when I learned what elopement was, I was like, oh, but I had never heard of it before. Kimmy, I was like, I thought it was a marriage thing. You just run up and get married.
Yeah. What about you, Jen?
I'm just shaking because it's such a common autism thing. We've had a couple closer calls and I've talked about one of them extensively. Kaya was on a school field trip and her, you guys call them a para, was chit-chatting with a set of parents. So Kaya wandered off and went into a pond knee-deep unattended and she couldn't swim. I had another parent call me and they said they saw her was walking down a street. She'd left school grounds. They didn't even realize she'd left the school. And she was off the school property walking, just walking. And like you said, our kids, I always describe Kaya as she has zero sense of danger. I think now she has like a teeny slight bit more, but it still would not stop her from walking into oncoming traffic. And when people are like, well, she would stop if there's a car. I said, she wouldn't stop if there was a train. She would have no awareness that that train would hit and kill her. And that's really hard for people to understand, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, and it's the inconsistency I think our children have too, where it's like, yeah, maybe on Monday she would stop, but like Friday she might not. It's like, you can't even take the chance of being like, oh, she'll stop. Because like there is a part of you that, I used to be like this with Alyssa, that it's like, I don't know, like, maybe she would, but like, how do you take that chance? Oh, she didn't get hit by a car. I guess I was right.
I have a vivid memory when we started kindergarten. The couple weeks prior, we would go to the playground just to get her familiar with, that's what the school recommended. So we just came and played at the playground. And they had a metal roped off area because it was still summer. So it blocked off the parking lot kind of thing. And she just like got away from me, just away from me. And our children are faster than anybody can imagine. So fast. And it was like a slow movie. It was a white car. I'll never forget it. They were skidding. And when I say they came, I mean, within fibers of her clothing were probably touching the car. And they were skidding. I'm screaming and I could not get to her fast enough. And so things like that. Our house, I always joke, our house is more secure than Fort Knox in ways that people don't think about, like the window alarms and stuff, because they're smart. Our outside, we went through a period of goal in life was to get out of one of those two. And our caregiver, Susan, at the time said, oh, she's fast. I'm exhausted. And Marley tried to come and help. And Marley's like, she is from one, she could barely keep up with her. So Chris installed locks on the top, like going the opposite direction, like on the top of the gate. So I just think that kind of stuff I think for me, I've always thought it really just comes down to the awareness of the safety in general. Mm-hmm. Like she would still to this day walk right out in front of incoming traffic.
And it's zero kind of awareness. The lack of a, I wouldn't say attachment, but the lack of awareness of you. Because mm-hmm. like most kids, when they walk away from their parents, they look back angry to check birds. Where their parents are or like how far away they are or whatever. Birds. And our kids, they don't have that type of connection. Not that they don't have that type of connection with us, but in those moments, they don't have that step. It's like they're just on a track to get wherever they're trying to get.
Yeah, and that's where they're going to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, and it's things like, I don't know if you guys have this, but like, we could never go to a park that wasn't fenced in when she was younger. Like it was not an option. And it's so hard for people to understand this. It's like, no, if it's not fenced in, we don't go, period. Mm-hmm. Like there's no, and people just don't really like take it seriously, I think, because they think of like, okay, kids run off. You just grab them, you call them. And it's like, but it's like, no, because our kids don't have any kind of safety awareness. Same thing when they're like, oh, why don't we go to this new beach? And it's like, okay, what's the parking lot look like? Angry Are there bears. Rocks? Is there like a cliff area that she could possibly like fall off of? Like,
it's what not grade of sand is there? What color is kids. The sunshine? All the things.
Well, I more think of as escaping. Like, if there's somewhere where she can fall off rocks and tumble into the ocean, then that's a no for me. I don't have to worry about that with my typical child. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't have to think about, are there rocks that are like, you know, a lot of beaches have a ledge somewhere on the beach. Is there a jetty that she could run off into? Is there, you know, everything has to be contained with our kids, especially like when they're in the, if they're in these phases. Now, I don't have to worry about that. She's not going to go anywhere now. Like, I 98% know.
But it definitely ebbs and flows. Like, it's still,
yeah, you're still
going to
have.
Because you just don't know when they're going to dart off.
Yeah.
Like, in general.
I notice Alyssa, she watches for cars now. Like, she's aware. When she was younger, and I don't mean younger like two, I mean younger like 12, 13, like she had no understanding of, like, even a young child will hear a car and, like, yeah, they could take off too because developmentally they're not quite there. But like most of the time they hear a car, they run back to their mom's leg.
Mm-hmm. You know, well, it's what Jamie said, or Tabitha. Tabitha, it's just not the awareness of
our kids
your
don't,
being, right?
Yeah.
They don't do that. But even now, Alyssa got to a stage about a year ago where she doesn't like to hold my hand anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got a handheld for 26 years, but she holds my hand when she crosses the street because I still don't know just 100% if something could spook her. I mean, our kids could drop to the ground at any moment. Like, it's not even just the running part of it. But she will hold my hand when she crosses the street. And the second we get to the other side, she, like, let's go. Like, I got
I'll tell mom. You what, but you say a walking is in this phase. And I do think it does ebb and flow a little with. Not that it's, I guess, considered a behavior. I don't mean it like that. But I find that you kind of master something in autism and then you're like, oh, nailed it. And then it just comes back at some point anyway, so don't get too cocky. Yeah.
Or something worse comes up.
Right. It's like, oh, man, I'll take that one, please. But she got out my mom out the front door. And thank God, and my mom's 75, but my mom is fit, thank God. She got, I mean, up that hill around the corner. My mom's like, my God, Jennifer, she's fat. You know, she got out of Barbie's mom's house one day. And it's not like Lee didn't watch her. I mean,
yeah. They're like, just quick. They're quick.
I swear to God, she was there and then she wasn't. And she walked to the park, by the way. Lee, which wasn't like on the same street or two or three. It was a little walk to the park and then through this little area. She knew exactly where she was going. Figured that's where she was. It was like very quick it happened, but that's how fast they can elope without.
Well, and it's such a struggle because it's like we want to teach our children independence and we want them to be independent and do things for themselves. And that's what is so pushed. And obviously it's so important, but then we have this whole thing of like, okay, do we let them be independent or do we keep them safe? Like, where's the balance? Where's the boundary? Like, I feel like that's really, really difficult when the safety awareness factor in just the impulsivity is just there, you know?
What about you, Rachel? Loping.
Oh, girl, we got some of all of this. Holy mackerel. I have this one kid that is like brave and dangerous, curious and insatiable. And it's like she's a slinky, quicky, darty, bolty, get someplace and flop. I mean, she just pulls all the tricks, I feel like. Celie had this really dangerous experience in the park with Billy one time. And, you know, certainly, it's sort of like what everybody's saying. It could be any park, any time. It has been multiple parks. I mean, there's been fences where I think that that's plenty of fence. And then, lo and behold, it's not.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's this experience in Target where she ran through the double doors and out and was hiding under the dually of somebody's truck. And I was screaming at strangers to help me. Like, I can just tell you eloping is such a thing that my daughter's winter jacket will always be fluorescent. My daughter's backpack will always be like loud and crazy and have an Apple AirTag in it. Or she will always have her phone. And, you know, right now I hold my breath while this little dot on the Apple Find My Daughter app stops. I know where like the stop signs are in these intersections they should pass. And I mean, I know before the bus station that they're broken down because I can see the dot stop. And every single time the car stops, you're vulnerable for Celie either feeling like she should get out of this part of the car, feeling like she should get out of the car in general. Like, what is she curious about? Does she want to go drive a train? Is she going to go run that crane? Is she going to go stop traffic? Like, mm-hmm. was it somebody's sunglasses in an oncoming car? Like, you just don't know what it, you just, I feel vulnerable with her all the time. It's kind of true with C that I believe there's two kinds of eloping with Celie. ABA would say that if you get out of your chair, you've eloped. I have a much looser guideline on that. Like, we're not leaving the room and eloping. That's just called Tuesday. We are, you know, like leaving the house in danger, and I'm deciding mm-hmm. if my like eye watch is charged, who to call, who to get help from first. It's at home. It's in the car. She lives. We've been in crisis for a long time. And so living on the edge of that fight or flight means, again, sorry to circle back, that C has these two kinds. One that's like, holy shit, my body is running and I have no idea where I'm going. And the solutions for that have always been like, find some steps to sit on. Find, like, if you find yourself gone, you just find some steps and put your body against the building, you know, or whatever, like, then there's eloping where she's trying to get the F away or trying to flee or trying to like avoid. All of those kind of feel the same. Those are like, mom, I'm going to run away on steroids, which is totally different than like, where the hell am I going? Forrest Gump style, like she's gone. She gone. Eloping is one of the things that makes me the most uncomfortable. Having as much eloping and like how that ends is, you know, sometimes a catastrophic incident with a tree root, or sometimes because she lands at an attack on someone or something.
Well, you said vulnerable. That's a really good way of, and I actually never thought about it like that. Actually,
I feel like just naked and afraid. And what sucks is that people see her great behavior when she's successful. And they're like, oh, that's not a thing. She was just great at such and such a game, or, you know, whatever we were at. I mean, not that we go a lot of places, but it's like, she can be successful. People see that and they think that the risk is gone, and it's not. So I'm still laced up sneakers. Like, I have a 2-year-old and I don't see an end to that. I mean, this is like in her spirit.
Yeah.
She just has no safety. Her curiosity is bigger than her safety, and she'll run off a bridge about it. I mean, the kid ran away from daycare to come to my work. She's eloped at school. She's in a level 4 school with a fence like a prison. And I'm not kidding. Like, it's got badges like a hospital and a fence like a prison. Mm-hmm. And she still has to drive a freaking bus to get home. You know, I mean, it's terrible. Like, can you do the armored car option?
And they say that 50% of kids with autism elope. So that's a pretty big.
It's high. Yeah. Yeah. For us, Nixon eloped like crazy when he was young. Mm-hmm. It was just like dart and dash, and he was fast as could be, like anything. And it was like on a turn of a coin, so we always had to be like ready for him to bolt.
Like, he maps, like Jane was saying about Jesse, right? Like C does, where she'll know the doors and she knows a path, and it's like almost a Dora map.
Yeah, and it's like calculating as you're walking in. Almost, and seeing what the hyper focus is as you're walking in, and then the second you look away, boom. And I have ran after him so many times. And when he was young, I was like, I gotta get in better shape because I can't. Mm-hmm. I'm starting not to be able to catch him. I really am sweating, you know. So we dealt with a lot of that. And we worked real, that was one of my main things starting super young with him in therapy, was cues to get him to stop. So we worked on weight and shouting stop for a long, long time, like years. And then eventually he picked up to those couple cues for the bolting to at least trigger his brain that something else is happening, and I could see that switch be triggered. We still on occasion have that bolting sometimes, not very regularly anymore now that he's older. He definitely, like, you can tell him to stop and he'll stop his running, but even I would say over the past year we had a couple incidences of the just taking off and running. And then he also has like a wandering elopement. So like just walking away, being distracted, not being aware of where he is. We had a couple incidences in Phoenix of, we had a real steep driveway of going out the back down the steep driveway. And we had, our house was lit up, cameras, locks, screamy alarms for the doors, you know, the whole works. And we had a empty lot right next to ours. And then it led to like a nature preserve, like 3 blocks away, you know? So if he end with coyotes and javelinas and all this scary stuff,
that's Arizona, javelinas,
cactuses, you know, scary. Like all those things. And mainly just traffic in a big city is horrifying. And then every place in Phoenix has a pond or water or some kind of structure of that kind, drowning. Oh, so we dealt with that. It's probably one of my biggest fears when it comes to like autism in general is the eloping, mm-hmm. because it's just so dangerous and so fast. And you can be watching and watching and watching, and it's still like almost hard to contain sometimes. And then Nora, she will stop actually if she doesn't do the bolting. She does do the wandering. She's also likes to hide in tiny places. So like she'll wander and then you can't find her because she's like tucked her body in somewhere, which is also super scary. Because if you have like a hole that she wants to climb in and she can't get out, or there's water inside the hole. One time I thought she had left our yard here and I couldn't find her anywhere. I was like panicking, and we have locks on outside all the gates. And I go around the side of the garage and there's a little tiny nook that is like blocked off by cinder blocks. And she had climbed over the top into the freaking nook, and I'm like shouting her name and like calling for her, and I was like terrified that she had got out the gate somehow. And then she has no water safety, same as Nixon, but we had a really scary thing one time, which I think I've talked about on this podcast, where she walked into a pond that was horrifying, and I was right by her, right behind her. She gets more of the hyper focus, I think, than Nixon does. So like if she wants to be somewhere or in water or taking her clothes off, like it's repeated. We're going back to the water. We're going back to the water. There's no gates that are keeping her contained. Like she can weasel and squirrel out of most places. She's wicked.
It's like you're compelled almost.
Yeah.
It almost seems like you're compelled to the water. Like,
yeah.
It, and that I think is like the most scariest part of the elopement factor, even though there's lots of things that could happen. They could get hit by a car. They could get lost. All that stuff, but it's just the water is so scary because it's like they're so drawn to it.
So well, many she, of them are drawn. With her too, she has like great gross motor skills. So she's figured out every single baby lock that is invented. Yeah. Baby lock, baby gate. We have high locks on our doors now that also make a noise when you open the door. You can hear the lock actually swing forward. But she also climbs. So she knows how to use chairs to like get places. So that's probably just the determined. Next thing. Yeah,
yeah.
Where we're going to have to. So that it's two different kinds. Like with Nixon, it was like dash, going wherever, super quick, super fast at the drop of a coin. And with her, it's more of like your eyes have to be on her or else she's going to be somewhere you can't see her or like wandering.
And not just on her, but you need to be looking at what she's focusing on so that you can see where she's headed next.
Yeah. And she's just like crafty like that. Like she'll wait until you're not looking. Like Nixon, it was more like an impulse. Like he would wait too, but not to the level that she does. Like she knows when you're not in that space to kind of be monitoring because she wants to do whatever she wants to do. And she's super flexible and can climb like a
Linky, like
spider
Kitty.
Monkey. Like she
has like said, wait till these fools aren't looking.
I'm gonna
going in that hole.
Climb up this fence. The other thing I wanted to talk about with elopement, so this says that 62% of parents said they couldn't accept an invitation to a child's birthday party or other event if it meant the child would be in an unsecured location.
I'm surprised that's so low. That is insane to me.
Yeah, so what I wanted to talk about is not only does elopement, like the innate fear of elopement to me is just, it's so dangerous. Just everything about it. Traffic, water, not being able to communicate who you are, what you are, which is also a number two thing that we worked on. My in therapy for safety was Nixon being able to say both me and Nick's, at least our first name and his first name. And they worked on that for a couple years too. And now he knows our last names too. But like I was like, as long as he can verbally communicate his name and our names, once he started being able to like actually talk, if they can get it out of him, at least there's that, you know, if he gets lost or whatever. But what I was going to say is that the eloping, I think, for me anyway, is one of the big factors of feeling isolated. Like
you can't take the risk every freaking day.
Yeah.
For every transition.
And you don't know, like what you guys were saying, even recently, I think on our episode where we were just bitching, I was talking about my trip to the park and how that just turned into a complete, utter disaster because the fence wasn't long enough and there was a freaking ditch there. And like, we didn't know, we'd never been to that park before. And then it turns into this whole fiasco of danger. Eloping, I think, is the number one thing that keeps us anyway isolated, because you can't go to a place, and it's not fun for anyone if you're just running and chasing and monitoring and trying to contain, and like, you know,
yeah, you're on the outside of the play date anyway.
Yeah.
I feel like for 70% of the time you don't go because of the safety stuff. The other 30% is that you end up leaving like abruptly when nobody can handle it anymore. Yeah. Like, whether that's because she did run or I can't handle the pressure of it happening, or there's too many variables that I can't help her to avoid enough, I'm like, peace out. And people don't get it, because at that point she hasn't run off. But I know we have to still make it to the car. We have to still transition into the car. We have to make it safely home. We have to transition from the car to home. And I'm saying all of this because there's like 59 steps left. It isn't enough that like my kid gets to get in the car and recharge. There's 55 things between then. Mm-hmm. I got to go.
Well, yeah. And I was going to say, like, it's even things like, not that these aren't necessarily safety things, but like Alyssa would like want to go in somebody's bedroom and go in their bed and put the covers over her head. Like, do you know what I mean? And some people are fine with that. Like, if it's your brother's house, that's fine. Your sister's house, they're not going to care. But like, if it's a neighbor, if it's a playmate of somebody at school, like, they might mind. They might think it's a little odd. Like, and then try to get that child out of the bed, because she's just trying to find a safe, quiet spot. You know what I mean? But like, try to get her out of the bedroom. Forget about it. Try to keep the door shut. Like, stairs.
For a
like,
while,
there's just so many variables.
Clear out cupboards.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many variables when you're somewhere else. Or like, it's like, okay, where's the door? How many stairs are there? Like, oh, come to our vacation house. And it's like, no. Like, you just can't. It's like you said, it's not fun.
I'm sorry. It's can you send me a picture of the tchotchkes? And
like,
the...
literally, though. Literally, it's like, I just remember forever I hated going anywhere where I didn't know the layout and didn't know, you know, how it was set up and where were the doors. And you know, when you have these dreadful, like, indoor-outdoor parties, which, like, people...
Oh, my obviously. God.
I mean, I understand why.
They're like, you can come eat inside or outside. There's 79,000 places to hide and screw
even,
up.
Even in your own home, okay, like, you have your kids trained. You have your family somewhat trained where you're like, oh, this door's got to be shut. This door's got to be locked. Like, it's really hard to do that at somebody else's house. Like, other people's kids aren't going to be like, oh, we're going to make sure we shut this door so your kid doesn't run out and run away into the forest. Like,
it's also not acceptable to scream at your nephew, Nathan. I don't have one, Nathan. So like, I just am going to say to be like, what the hell? You didn't close the gate to the pool or whatever it is. Like,
I did that.
Unhinged at everybody, like Uncle Pete and Uncle Jane. And
I told you guys about the family vacation where I was shouting at every person about the freaking door down to the lake. Is the door open? Close the door. Close the door.
And everyone's like, will you relax? Will you calm down? Like, she's fine. God, like, she's fine right this moment.
Yeah.
She's fine right this moment. But like, that will change. That can change so fast. And then you feel like you're a crazy person because you're just like, yeah, you know.
Tabitha's like, can you please not use the door?
Yeah, go out the back.
I'm sorry, I brought these 13-inch screws to close the door for you.
And this was before Nixon was diagnosed. It was before he was at four. It was like he was probably like maybe 2 and a half. No, Nora was born, so he must have been like 3-ish. It was before he was diagnosed, and I was already like on the radar of like the safety gear, you know, like all the.
Or the other thing is when. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Jen.
No, go ahead, Kimmy.
I was gonna say that when people are like, "Just sit down. I'll watch her for a few minutes." Oh, you know, please. then you see that said person like walking across the house, and you're like, where is my child? And they're like, oh, she's right over there. She's fine. She's not fucking right over there. You know what I mean? Like, she's probably playing in the toilet bowl right now. Like, it's like, oh yeah, my gosh. Yeah. So people just cannot wrap their head around. They can't grasp it. It's like, you know,
she's fine is the words that like, please repeat that while I'm dialing 911, you asshat.
Sorry, Jen, go ahead.
No, I was saying, I took Kite, I've told the story. I took her to Disneyland when she was 4 or 5, and her dad's like, you better get one of those harnesses because she's fast, and that's a busy place to lose a kid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I got her the little monkey one that you put on like a little backpack, but it had the thing. And the lady that we went through when we scanned her ticket, she's like, don't you think she's a little old for that? And really what I wanted to do was punch the happiest place on earth right in the face, but that's not appropriate to do at the Disney. No, lady, she's not too old for that.
I mean, it's okay if you do it with a smile, Jen.
Yeah, that's true, because it is Disney. But, you know, the judgment also that comes with that.
Oh, yeah.
Of having, essentially, a leash
on
your
kid.
But people do that with typical children, because it's such a, and to be clear, I do have an AirTag in her backpack. I got this.
Yeah.
I tried to get her you can get them off Amazon. They look like a watch and the AirTag pops right in it, but she won't wear it. She takes it off. So her teacher put it in her backpack. I was like, well, he knows there's a tracker on her now, but just like Rachel, it gives me some comfort being able to watch.
I want to get those too.
I wanted it on said person because that's obviously more practical, but we're going to have to build up wearing said watch. So for now, at least I can see when she gets onto the bus and is moving home.
Mm-hmm.
Celia is super connected to her phone, and we let her, like at her school, she gets to earn phone time. So it's close to her at all times. Even like I can see her moving through the school, like a comfort thing. I mean, I don't know how they allow it, but thank God, because I really have, like I've had to run to the side of the bus to help. I mean, again, you stop that bus, you're at risk of everything. Like,
yeah,
please don't stop the bus. Oh, it's terrible. Eloping is something that like it makes you realize that you're at risk, at the biggest risk at all times. When but it's, you know, in fetal alcohol syndrome, I think it's said that, well, we're probably going to have to cut this out, but I think it's like 80% of people that, God, is that true? No, I'm not going
to.
I think there's
you're the expert.
Like that there's like eloping and safety, like it's unaware to the millionth degree, and it's not going to get better.
But that's what I say to people.
In Alzheimer's too, it's kind of similar. You know what I mean? Where they just, obviously it's different because they're trying to go somewhere maybe that they don't remember, but it's the same thing. They have like the impulse to like go somewhere and then they just leave with no awareness that it's like, oh, it's freezing out right now, or it's
and you need shoes.
My dad had dementia every time my brother would go see him in the home, they'd watch the soccer World Cup that Germany won. And every time my brother was like, every time I watched it, it was the first time for him. So it's kind of that same, he's like every time. So it's that same thing. Like, no, like he would like try to order room service. I'm like, dude, you're not in a spa. No one's bringing you a cocktail and, you know, the 5 o'clock dinner's down the hallway, you know, like no concept of, so it's that same thing. Like, would just want to leave the building. Wouldn't understand.
And you just like take a right at the end of the hallway. I mean, that's the stuff. It's like,
And really it has a lot to do, like our kids in general don't like being contained. Mm-hmm. They don't like no. I mean, like we use tools that aren't no, but are really no.
Yes. Yeah.
They don't. I mean, if you tell
can't say that word. Can't say
if
that
you
word.
Tell them no, it's just going to elevate the situation a lot of the times. And they just get hyper-focused on what's in their view, you know, or what's in their mind at that time.
And I think they also get overwhelmed sometimes. And then when everything gets to be too much, they try to find a space that is not so stimulating and overwhelming.
Yes.
So that's another thing that kind of drives them away from the crowds or the people. You know, so if you're at a party or somewhere where there's a lot of people, they're trying to get away from the people. So like whatever takes them away from that, and sometimes that's outside, or
and that's they get fight out there or flight. And, mm-hmm. Like it's just go in any direction to get away. People, so you know, you can. I've said it. You know, you try to explain. Like if you try to explain scaling a wall, I mean, like people be like, yeah, okay, but they don't. Like she'll actually scale a wall.
But, yeah.
Like I try to explain to people, like I said earlier, she will walk in front of a freight train and not know it's going to hit her. We were in Seattle visiting her dad one time. I think she was about 5. And he's like, oh, come on. I am going to teach her. We're going to stop at these stoplights and we're going to go these crosswalks. And she's going to learn these red, yellow. Red. And after a little while, he's like, she does not understand this. And I said, I told you. So it's like, unless somebody actually sees it, they don't really understand it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's just, I mean, like you guys are all saying, it's so the anxiety of going anywhere with your kid when they're like I look back, I mean, it's still hard with Jesse. If we're at a party, if we're at someone's house, I'm next to him. Cause even if it's not like him taking off eloping, it's like Kimmy, he'll go in someone's room or he'll, I'm all, and people, like you guys said, think you're crazy, but it's like, I mean, we've been on vacation with the same thing with a raging river in the back. And I'm like, and it's hard too, because like, for me, it's gotten so automatic. And then for those other people, it's not, even if that's their intention, they just don't think of it. It just gets ingrained in our brains because it's so scary. I'll say what works for us is like, so eventually, like at therapy and all this place, like Taz was saying, they got Jesse to know our phone numbers. He does not remember anymore, which is kind of my fault because I didn't like quiz him every day on it. But that was something working therapy. And then I got him like a medical band with our phone numbers on it. So like if we went anywhere big or anything like that, we have him wear that, or a lanyard. The band he's not as great about wearing, but he will wear a lanyard while he's there. As soon as we get in the car, he'll take it off. And knowing his name, his first name and last name helps. And now we say pause, which I think that word started working because we would like convince him to go somewhere, because you know, like if Jesse starts like a show or something, he's not like a crazy TV kid, but if he starts a show or something and we don't let him finish it, it's a problem. So we like taught him pause, like we can pause this and come back to this. Mm-hmm. Still usually we come back, he has to restart it and finish it, but he learned the word pause from TV. But that helped him, like, because he understood the concept, like pause means stop, like, so all that, you'll still hear me, I'll pick him up for school and he'll start wanting, I'm like, pause, you gotta pause. And so all those things have kind of helped us, but it's still scary because like you guys said, it's that when he gets in the fight or flight mode, he'll just take off and there's nothing, mm-hmm. you know, like I have to be on there and grabbing him and chasing. Like it literally 2 days ago that happened at school, he lost me and he started panicking and one of his teachers tried to like go help him and he kind of got scared because he thought he was in trouble from her and he started running off and he kept tripping and falling then, which is really sad and scary, but it was also kind of like, okay, good. I can grab him. But
yeah,
he's 8 years old now. Like he can run pretty fast. And I'm like trying to catch up with him. And also I'm worried about my daughter and my nephew are there.
Oh yeah.
Luckily this is outside the school, so there's several adults, but like it still happens. And it's, I don't know, I just wish there was a way to explain to people how scary that is.
Mm-hmm. That's the way that we are most successful. You just made me think, like leaving school because there was so many folks around. I talked about it here on the podcast, but we've got a lot of friends locally that get together, basically like our baseball team and other kind of groups have special needs kids. So we're going to these East Metro Miracle League, like the Miracle League itself does other classes. Anyways, all those families can go to a hike together, can go to a whatever, because now all of our kids have 12 parents, 12 moms watching. There's all of us are counting everybody's kids. It's like, it's made it possible for us to go into the community because we like go with a pack.
Mm-hmm. I find that really hard for not just eloping, but my kids often like to go in opposite directions, like completely opposite directions. And then you're like trying to wrangle the one, get the other one over here. Like no one wants to stay around mom. It's just like one's on the left, one's on the right, one's behind me, one's in front of me. It's, and then you're like double eyes because I don't know which one of them's gonna like go the wrong direction or whatever. That has gotten better over time too, but it is challenging when you have multiple kids, even neurotypical kids, and you have a kiddo that elopes or dashes off. Like, are you supposed to leave your 18-month-old or run with them in your arms to catch your other kid, you know, which I have done many times, actually.
Been there.
Running with a baby in my arms to catch Nixon. But eloping is very challenging. If you deal with eloping, they had some tips. Let me see.
Stroller, as long as
can you
possible.
Provide a link? I mean,
yeah. There's some great stroller. Yeah, I think having a cart or a containment of some kind helps. Just
like with a strap.
Yeah. Okay.
5-point harness
to help stop a child with autism from eloping. We all know you can't stop them, but to help it, hide your door keys. Use special locks. Install alarms or on your doors or windows. Window restrictions, so they can only be opened by an inch. Harness or walking reins, they call them, for your child to wear when out in the community. Walking reins, I don't know what that means. Mm-hmm. Get a car harness.
That's a leash, girl.
Car harness. I think we probably all have dealt with things in the car, which is a highly scary situation as well, and can be paired with eloping, trying to get out of the car, trying to climb out of the car, trying to climb out the windows, making sure your child's constantly supervised. That seems like a given.
Hello. Oh, thanks, internet, for that answer.
Be super vigilant.
Try melatonin.
Also a given. Teach your child safety rules, which is what we were kind of talking about, like certain cues where you can teach them. Wear bright colors, which you said, Rachel. So they can be easily spotted. And
yeah, I'm
ask,
serious. We don't go anywhere with more than 8 people there without homegirl being in some fluorescent situation. Right now, her hair is glorious. Yeah, very, very one of a glorious. Kind.
You can and see then it anywhere. Says, consider a GPS tracking device.
These are great. Some of them are great.
Service.
Yeah.
Kind of
yeah.
Blow dart.
Yeah.
I mean, our kids could blow through the first, 15 of those. It's like, man, yeah. They're like,
teach your child safety rules.
Beer.
Okay.
It says to help, not to stop it. To help with.
This is so funny.
Try some of these things.
You triggered me. You in my
I didn't
house.
Mean to say melatonin.
About the windows. I had a great security lock on my sliding door. The problem is it locked me out and I had a call the non-emergency 911, which that was a disaster, but fire ended up getting dispatched. They came. The guy said, thankfully, I had my bedroom window open, unlocked. He's like, well, they obviously would have had to break the glass to go in. I had that double lock in the front. So it was just that thing. So those of you who are getting in the front door. And the firemen were laughing because they're like, problem is it's locking you out. Right.
That
she
happened.
Was little. And I worried about, knives being on the counter. I mean, she was watching the movie Frozen. When it came out, she did not care that I was outside desperately trying to get in. It didn't even faze her. I don't think she noticed I was gone. But anyway, thank God my bed was.
Yeah, I had that when I locked myself out of the house. I tried to break in, but it's literally impossible because there's so many locks.
Once you're out, you cannot get back
you
in.
You cannot get back in. Their other tips are practice stop drills, which I think is good. We did practice that with Nixon. We'd take him to a park where we knew there weren't going to be a lot of people. And we'd actually allow him to run or whatever, and then practice the stop or wait, work on communication skills. And I think this is also, if your child's nonverbal, you can work on signs or something for them to a visual cue. This one, this one's hard. Teach clear and straightforward rules. Okay.
Hey, thanks, internet. There again.
Road safety lessons, which I think is good. Practice with our kids. It literally takes sometimes a year or two, but once they get it, then you're in a safety zone or have safety tools. And it does take a lot of practice. Both of my kids are not good with, Nixon has gotten better, but traffic, traffic is still a high danger situation for us because there's not awareness of cars and what's coming near you and busy roads and stuff like that. Anyway, that's eloping people. Next we have self-harm. If you have questions about eloping, you can email us or DM us, as the kids would say.
We'll send you our favorite
slide into our DMs.
We'll send our favorite walking reins links. Car safety harnesses. Walking reins.
I think the one fortunate thing for not all of our kids, but a lot of our kids, is they like to be Alyssa always liked to sit in the cart, the front of the cart. I mean, her legs were almost touching the floor, so we did get some weird looks. But that's, our kids feel safe, like enclosed and things a lot of the times.
Yeah.
Not all of our kids, but I'm just saying carriages, stuff like that. So like, that's one thing that's like on our side, but the looks, man, and the judgment that you get for her. And I was leaving her in that front of that carriage for as long as her ass was willing to go in there. I'm sorry. Same. Like literally, Kira would have groceries. She'd sit in the basket. Alyssa would be in the front, and all the girls would be like going.
Oh yeah, carriage. Yeah. Do what you gotta do, people. Do what you gotta do. Safety first.
Remember, if car safety is your thing, it is a safe and honorable 5-point harness to keep your kid contained for that break after the shitty experience sometimes at the park.
Sometimes you have to.
Put a seatbelt.
Mm-hmm. Do what you gotta do.
Do what you gotta do.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Night.
Have a good day, guys.
Day. Whatever time you're listening to this.
Whatever.
Thank you for joining us at the table for this episode of the Table for Five No Reservations podcast. Big thank you to all of our supporters. If you'd like to become a supporter, please check out the description of this episode. There you can also find episode information. If you enjoy our podcast, we would appreciate if you could rate and review us wherever you listen. Join us next Monday for more, and while you wait, check out our content on Facebook and Instagram. If you'd like to contact us, you can at tableforfivepodcast@gmail.com. We can't wait to sit with you again. See you next time. Bye.